Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, after taking off for a week, we're back here, Gamertag Radio. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Danny, and also join me on this episode. Like every other week, we have Paris here, co-host of the show. What's going on, Paris?
Is this Deal or No Deal? Is you a game show host now?
What are you doing?
The show. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Yep. Yeah, man. Deal or No Deal, Paris? You have 5 seconds to answer that question.
I never watched the show. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all good. So how was your break, man? Thanksgiving break.
No, it's good. It's good. We just kept it pretty simple. Just the immediate family. Didn't do anything too crazy. You know, it was a storm of the century out here in Southern California. So it rained the entire day of Thanksgiving. So we just stayed inside. Smoked up some meats, and the kids made all the sides, and that was it. That was good.
It wasn't no oven. It was strictly like Khalif, not right?
Yeah, no oven. Like No. We don't do oven ribs in this house. Everything on the smoker.
All right. Shout out to Khalif. Spot on me. So yeah, my break was good, man. I was, you know, just chilling with the family. You know, we got together and everything, just chill. Cold as always over here. And I was watching a lot of streaming. Mandalorian, watched that. I watched The Movie That Made Us. Actually, it's a great documentary series. You definitely should watch that. If you're a fan of The Toy That Made Us, you're definitely gonna like this one, man. So it's only 4 episodes, so I finished that. So and then I've just been watching a lot of old movies. That's what I've been doing. Like, I watched Home Alone and, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah.
And playing The Witcher 3 on the Switch still. I think I have like close to 50 hours now, you know, so I'm almost done with the main story, but I'm still doing side quests. I just want to level up as much as I can before I start working on the expansions, man. So I think I'm good, Paris. I think by the time Cyberpunk comes out, I'll be done. I'll be good, man.
So, okay. You know my opinion on it, but okay.
Yeah, I know. So, everybody, head over to GamertagWare.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, share the content. Share the episode to everybody else, all your friends and everything. And you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, even post a review. It'll help us out big time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Paris, I think the best way to start this conversation is with this voicemail right here. And then we'll go from there, all right?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing well. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I hope you guys are able to have a great time with your family. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on a semi-hot topic that's been going around in the industry about Phil Spencer's stance on VR. Now, he basically said that there will be no support, no VR support, on the Scarlet next generation. Now, I know it's a lot of fake outrage out there. People get mad about things. But my thing is this. I never can be okay with the competition giving you an option that's not available on another system. I mean, for me personally, I think that if the competition is doing it, if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think that Phil should give VR to the ones that want it, and sold over 4 million on the PlayStation. Anyway, it's becoming a long-winded message. I just wanted to ask you guys, do you guys agree with Phil Spencer's stance on VR? That's all. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And for the record, I do not. I think that more options is always a great thing, and taking them away only makes the consumer suffer. So with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Keon. Which, by the way, I never knew what he looked like until earlier, well, last week. Yeah, I think you had posted it in the Discord or something, like a tweet from him. And I saw the video, and I was like, oh, that's what he looks like. But he looks exactly like I thought he would. So that's great. Shout out
to him, man. I'm always he has a podcast called Analog Circle. Pretty cool podcasting. Yeah, he's been posting a lot of videos, man, of him just while he's working. Posts his comments on like different topics. So yeah, shout out to Keon, man.
So to answer his question, I agree with him as far as Phil Spencer stands. And I know we kind of already touched on this a little bit previously, but things have escalated since.
Yes.
So here's the thing. So Phil Spencer obviously did the interview during XO19. He caught some backlash on Twitter. And I actually saw what Ryan McCaffrey had tweeted at him. And he was basically kind of defending Phil's stance on VR. And I just replied to Ryan, and you know, and Phil was tagged on it, but I just replied to Ryan. You know, he's a great guy. He's been on the show. And I was just saying, I was like, the issue isn't, and again, this is my opinion, but I was saying the issue isn't that they want to focus on their games lineup, especially with Scarlett coming next year. It was the way he dismissed VR as a novelty. And I think really all he should have said was, we're not focused on it now, but we're going to leave the door open. But in a nutshell, it's basically what my tweet said. So Phil Spencer responded to me like a day later, and he said it was a fair feedback. I won't read the whole thing, but he basically said it was fair feedback. And the nugget that came out of it was that he's actually played Half-Life Alyx, and he does appreciate how amazing of a game that it is and all the hard work that people like Valve and Sony, you know, have been doing in the industry with VR. Well, that exploded. A lot of the major gaming sites and tech sites actually picked up on that tweet from Phil, and shout out to SkillUp. He's a YouTuber. He gave a shout out to it as well. But, you know, they were discussing it. And like I was saying, it isn't that Xbox needs to focus on VR. That isn't my contention at all. 100% focus on your games lineup, because that's what you need to fix first. So, of course, that is the right play as we go into 2020, which, like I've said, to me is probably the most important year in the history of Xbox. So fix that first. But if Half-Life Alyx like explodes and VR explodes, because do you know what happened is Black Friday, Danny? 3 of the top 50 on Amazon were VR headsets. Valve Index is sold out. So Valve did the right play by announcing Half-Life Alyx, because it did create excitement over VR. We're looking at what potentially could be the first quote unquote AAA system seller for VR. So there is a renewed interest in it. So I think the timing of what Phil Spencer said was poor, because he kind of, oh, I'm not worrying about it, but yet he actually played it and acknowledged that it was a great thing. So like I said, I don't disagree that Xbox should focus on a games lineup. Of course they do, but don't close the door on VR at the same time. That's basically in a nutshell my thoughts on it.
I'm going to take it back to 2005. That was a big year for gaming. That year, the Xbox 360 came out, right? And what was the other thing that also came out during that year, Paris? Do you remember?
In 2005?
In 2005. Let's go with March or April of 2005.
March or, do you remember? April? It wasn't Half-Life 2. Was it episode 1 or something? What was it?
No. It was the PSP, the PlayStation Portal. Remember that? Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
When that came out, everybody was like, oh, man, look at that. Nintendo has their device. Oh, my God. Sony's doing handheld. Where is Xbox? Xbox doesn't have a handheld. And I believe recently, like years later, we found out that they were also thinking about that to see if they wanted to do a, I think the rumor of the handheld that was called was X-Boy. Mm-hmm. And it never went through behind the scenes. Because honestly, Nintendo dominated with that, man. There's no way other companies are going to come and take over that, right? Years later, PlayStation again did it with a great system, PlayStation Vita, which I love, right? Again, the conversation came up. Why Xbox is not doing it? Why Xbox? And still, That's not their focus. And that in many interviews, they've been saying that throughout the years, So sometimes just because your competition is doing something, it doesn't work out all the time, man. Like when the Wii came out, motion was like a big thing. PlayStation did it with the PlayStation Move. Xbox did it with Kinect. And it honestly, it hurt both companies because they see like Nintendo making so many big buzz and media and getting the whole new casual market buying their games and everything. I mean, not the games, but more of like the system because of it. So they were trying to do the same thing. It didn't work, man. It didn't work. So I get where Phil is coming from. Like, of course, everybody now is talking about it because of Half-Life Alyx, which, don't get me wrong, like, I appreciate the technology. I get where everybody's coming from. Paris, I get where you're coming from, too. Like, I get it. Like, there's different ways for Phil to respond that, right? Like, the interview. Remember, this interview happened during XO19, way before they even showed Half-Life Alyx. So Phil knew about Half-Life Alyx, you know, but business-wise, it just doesn't make sense for them right now. And I think what they definitely need to focus on the thing that everybody's been complaining for years, is their games. You complain it, I complain it, everybody talked about that, like games. I'd rather them focus on that, focus on new innovation, Xbox Game Pass, all that, like go for that. I'd rather for them to focus on now. In the future, if Half-Life Alyx make a huge change in this industry, that now VR becomes more mainstream, and in the future, if it makes sense, hey, go for it. You know, yeah, Phil's going to look like an idiot because the way how he responded now, right? In the future, they'll bring him back and everybody, and especially you, you're going to say, like, see, I told you, this should have been a different way for him to answer that. I get that part, man. But at the same time, Paris, if it doesn't make sense, I totally agree with Phil what he was saying. That's the thing that I've been trying to say throughout the whole conversation. Like sometimes the company shouldn't have been copying others just because the competition is doing them. Hey, it's working for PlayStation, man, more power to them, man. Stick with that, man. I think competition is good, and personally for me, I'm not a VR guy. And Half-Life Alyx is not something that's going to convince me to actually buy a product just because of one game. If this was Joe Schmo VR, nobody would be talking about this at all, man. This conversation would not be happening right now, you know? So that's just my sense, like, I mean, my opinion about the whole thing. Just wanted to say that.
So, I purposely stay quiet so you could say 100% of what you wanted to say, but I don't completely agree. I think you're missing the point of what I'm saying. No one is saying that Xbox needs to come out with a VR headset right now. The problem is, and just like Yoshida, you know, had a nice little clap back on Twitter to what Phil said, is, okay, so sometimes you have to put out things that your customers may not be asking for at the time. Because let's remember, Xbox did the same damn thing with Kinect. No one was asked for that damn camera, but they brought it out anyways, right? You know, ultimately it wasn't a success, but they tried something. And again, no one is asking Xbox in 2019, 2020 to create VR. And again, you just pointed out the fact that Phil, even when he did the interview, had already played Half-Life Alyx. He knew that Valve was going to announce this at some point. So again, I just thought his comments were very short-sighted because, yeah, if it was Joe Schmo VR game, no one would care. But this is potentially the first system seller to make VR mainstream. Everyone has been waiting for 15 years for another Half-Life. Here it is. It's VR. It looks like it's going to push the genre forward. So, of course, people are going to be excited about it. So when you come out with an interview now and you basically poo-poo the whole idea, you're going to catch flack for it. So, again, no one's saying that Xbox needs to do VR in 2020, 2021, even 2022. Hell, just say we're leaving the door open. That's it. That's all you got to say, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in November 2020. There's going to be PlayStation VR 2.0, whatever the hell it's going to be called, on the PlayStation 5. Guess what game is going to be on it? Half-Life Alyx. That's all I'm saying. That's good. So,
and the crowd's going to go crazy. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's my point. So that's all I'm saying. Just don't kill an idea without seeing it actually come to fruition yet. Because let's remember, Phil Spencer, out of his own lips on the E3 stage, said that Xbox One X was going to have VR. And it never did. That's fine. But you said that Xbox was going to have a VR focus. Let's remember, we went to the Halo when they were doing the whole their AR thing. What was it? HoloLens.
HoloLens, yeah.
Yeah, we did the Halo thing for it. Yeah. So they showed a Minecraft demo for it. So don't act like the tech doesn't have a place in the industry just because it may not sell, you know, 30, 40, 50 million units. It is technology that, as it matures, will become more viable. That's all. That's all. Yeah. You're the head of one of the major platforms out there. Don't make it seem like people that are excited about something, it's just a niche thing that isn't worth our time, especially when you're the ones that are trying to actually catch up in the industry right now compared to your competition. That's all I'm saying.
But, man.
I know you want to defend Xbox, but
no, it's not it's not defending. It's just like business-wise. It's like this, man. You mentioned HoloLens. Microsoft's not even talking about HoloLens anymore, man. Oh, they were promoting it like before. Nobody who's talking about HoloLens. I know it's AR. It's not VR, but
right.
You know, like nobody's actually talking about it right now. I think the future for every company right now, which we're going to have this conversation later on, is cloud gaming, game streaming.
I don't agree with that either.
No. But I'm saying, like, in the future, like, I see companies investing on, you know, Project X Cloud, Google Stadia. There's a rumor now that Amazon's going to start doing it. Like, I think that makes sense because they're investing it. They've done some research, you know. But VR has been around for a couple of years that even Facebook acquired Oculus, it's not even making that big of a buzz, man. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just don't see it, man. If Facebook wasted so much money, I think recently they just acquired a studio that developed Beat Saber for VR. They just acquired that right now too, like recently, you know. I don't know. I just think that VR is still early and it's just not going to make sense right now for Xbox. Like, invest money on studios, invest money on games, invest money on Game Pass.
But no one's arguing that, Danny. No one's saying to not do that right now. Of course, that's what they're supposed to do. The point is, the head of Xbox was like, well, VR is just a novelty. We don't care about it.
You're saying that. But overall, if you read social media, everybody's like disappointed because they're not investing on VR. It's not what you're saying, Paris, because you're right. There's different ways how you say things, right? But the majority of the people, if you go to social media and even YouTube, people are complaining like, why they're not investing in VR? They should invest because Sony is doing it and so-and-so is doing it. Why Xbox is not doing it? That's a conversation. Not that many people are saying what you're saying, Paris, which I totally 100% agree with you. Nobody's actually talking about that, Paris. The majority of people that read that article are talking about like why Xbox is not doing that.
But the conversation is that. But again, you want to know why you're having this mob mentality saying those things right now? Because he's the one that said it to start it off. So people are responding to that. So again, all he had to say was, hey, we're not doing it at launch, but the door's open. Done. We move on and we're not even having this conversation right now.
And I think the conversation we're having the other day, easily they could just do a quick update to the system that you could just connect your VR device there from any other company, from like Oculus, what's the other ones? You know, VR devices you can connect to there on Xbox and just play. They could easily do that because I think that was the plan originally.
Yep.
And then crickets after that because it was just not up there still, man. At that time, when we went to E3, everybody was talking about VR. That was like the talk of E3. And that's why it made sense for Xbox to mention that at that time at the press conference, that the future console will have VR support. And then after that, things just didn't work out. Crickets. I don't know. I see where Phil is coming from, but yeah, you, like you said, is the way how he said things. The way he said it during the interview. And I get it. But
Yeah, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I love this debate. And look, everybody's listening right now. If you disagree, agree, please let us know. Discord, or just email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or send us a voicemail. We definitely will we'll put it on the show, have this conversation in the future. But hopefully in the future, Paris, if we see Phil or somebody from Xbox, I think it'll be great to have that same conversation with them on the podcast. I think that'll be good, right?
Oh, agree. Completely agree.
Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, support for Gamertag Radio comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Have you ever had a situation where you're trying to, like, you know, trim down there or get, you know, shave and you get cut? That happened to me many times, and I bet I'm not the only one that has that had that experience, which is a horrible, horrible experience. This is why this company is revolutionary. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has advanced skin-safe technology, so when you trim, you won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside with a brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything that you need. I'm talking about everything to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice. We even had a listener. His name is James Blinky 33 on Twitter. Make sure to follow him. He wrote, got my Manscaped kit with the GTR discount, which is amazing. He also said that this product is the real deal. James and everybody out there, make sure to let us know once you use this promo code. We'll definitely give a shout out. And also, it will help our sponsor, Manscaped. All right, so take advantage of this. And especially this holiday season, go get yourself one. You could buy your dad, your brother, or even friends one of the best gifts of all. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code GTR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code GTR. If you get one, make sure to hit us up and we'll definitely give a shout out. Manscaped.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so next topic. The future of cloud gaming, Paris. Google Stadia. We finally got some hands-on. Shout out to our community members. You want to give out shout out?
No, I don't. I do not, actually.
Yes. Wow, that's so messed up, man. He was the one to hook us up.
Well, you know? maybe because the person that set me up may not want me to say that person's name on the show.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right, so the person that hooked me up from the GTR community, his name is Andy. Shout out to him. Because recently, Google Stadia came out, and there's a feature where everybody that bought the Founders Edition will also get a Buddy Pass. This Buddy Pass is only going to be available during the launch window of Google Stadia. After that, it's going to get removed, or unless they extend it, who knows. But I think this is a great way for people to spread the word about the service instead of just relying on people that just bought it. But if you hook up a friend, I think the word will go around, man, you know? So thanks to Andy and whoever gave it to Paris for us to try Google Stadia, man. So we don't have the Founders Edition. We only you do now.
Well, this is okay. Finish yours and then I will say what I'm saying.
But what I played Google Stadia last year, and it was called Project Stream at that time, and it was only one game, Assassin's Creed. So the way I was playing back then was using Google Chrome, connecting my Xbox controller, and that's the way how I play it now with Google Stadia again once I got that Buddy Pass. Same exact thing, Google Chrome, but now it's there's two games that are available for free if you got the Buddy Pass or the Founders Edition, and it's Destiny 2, the full package, the full game. And also a fighting game. Can't remember the name of that. I'm ignoring it because they don't really care that much. But that's how we play. So, Paris, Samurai you want to talk about Samurai Showdown?
The fighting game Samurai Showdown. So again, being serious for a second. Yeah, so it was two things. A very kind person who I won't put that person on Blast Street, sent me their Founders Edition to let me borrow it for a week or two so I could take it through its paces. And then at the same time, a second person gave me a code from their Buddy Pass. So I was able to have my own Stadia account. I got the Founders Edition as well. And I've been testing it here over the holiday break. I mean, breaking the fourth wall, anyone on Twitch. I mean, this is the actual Founders Edition controller for Stadia in my hand right now. I have the Chromecast Ultra. I have that hooked up on my big screen TV. So I've played it three different ways, over the past few days. So I played it via the Chrome browser, wired connection to the controller. Matter of fact, Danny and I were playing Destiny 2 together. You can check out that video here on the Twitch stream, or you can go check out my YouTube channel for that stuff. I've also played it on big screen TV using Chromecast Ultra, and I grabbed my laptop and I went to Starbucks and played it there as well, over a wireless connection. I have to say, for me, the technology has worked fine. I've not had an issue. Honestly, the only time I had any kind of lag was when I was at Starbucks. But in my house, I'm on a gig connection. No lag. No lag at all. It's worked fine, the actual technology of it. The input lag has been very tolerable, enough so that I'm not thinking about it while I'm playing. I don't feel like I'm fighting a controller. So I've actually been very impressed with that. I did run into an issue because the Founders of the Stadia controller, the way it connects over the Chromecast, it connects wireless directly to the Google servers, right? So when you bring it up on your TV, you know, you pull up the app on your phone and you say, all right, connect to like my living room TV or whatever, Stadia will fire up that way. I can hit play on the app. It'll open up the game, but then the controller itself also has to connect. So I have run into a few problems where I'll get this error message that says the controller is connected to the internet, but is unable to connect to the Google servers at this time, or Google services at this time. I have to restart everything all over again, had to do it a couple of times, and it'll finally connect. So it's really been the only gotcha that I've had just from a connectivity standpoint. Other than that, it's played just fine. I mean, my issues go way beyond actually playing a game on it. My issues goes into the business model of what they're doing with Stadia. I just don't think their current business model is sustainable for the long term, because again, I don't think cloud gaming right now should be the primary way you play games. There's just way too many variables out there. I feel like my scenario is I'm the prime candidate. I'm in Southern California. I'm close to a Google data center. I'm on a gig internet connection. So everything that I do in my house is ideal. But that's not going to be the use case for the majority of people that use Stadia. And we've seen that feedback online already from the people that have gotten the Founders Edition. So just imagine once it opens up to the free tier to the masses in early 2020, you're going to see even more of those issues. So you're asking me to spend $10 a month for games that may or may not be in 4K, because we're learning that as well, which Google kind of punted and pointed the finger at the developers as to why all their games aren't in 4K. So you're going to have that. And then you're going to have to spend full retail price for games. I mean, I know if you spend the $10 a month, you get some discounts on some things, but we'll see as that goes on. But the question that I've said before I got hands on with Stadia, and I'll say it right now, Cyberpunk 2077 comes out April 16th, 2020. Where are you buying it? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Where are you going to buy your major AAA games? Are you going to buy it on your Xbox, your PlayStation, your PC, or are you going to buy it on Stadia? I won't say guarantee, but I would imagine the vast majority of people are not going to choose Stadia to be the primary way they play. And that's why I think they need to change the business model overall. Like I said, I know I've been super critical of this thing over the past few weeks because, look, my spidey sense was just tingling. I could see it coming. I could see all this stuff coming. But I definitely wanted to put my money where my mouth is and get hands-on with it. So, again, thank you to the person that sent me their Founders Edition, and thank you to the person that sent me their Buddy Pass. So I've had real-world hands-on experience with Stadia now. Like I said, I got three different videos up on YouTube on it. You know, you can check out the streams that we have here on Twitch, and you can see me playing it. I'm playing it. I'm giving real-time commentary as I'm playing it. And like I said, the actual technology of Stadia works. It's very impressive. No issue with that. But it's launching it right now in November 2019 made no freaking sense at all. It's not ready to be a production 1.0 product. It's just not. This is a beta. Do not be fooled. This is a beta that you will be paying to play. You have to understand that going in. Not all the they promised way too many things way too early, and they failed to deliver on those. And that's my main issue with it. And ultimately, they got to figure out some kind of subscription service or partner up with Steam or something to figure this out, because I find it very hard pressed that people are going to spend their hard earned money in their store and have a cloud gaming service where Google has the track record of getting bored after a few years and pulling the plug.
Yep. Totally agree. Now, people have been asking me, Danny, what's the difference between Google Stadia and Project X Cloud now in 2019? The only difference is, besides being, you know, beta, free, pay, all that, is that with Google Stadia, you could play Google Stadia only on your Chrome browser of your computer and on TV, which Project X Cloud, you only could try this out using a Android tablet or phone device. There's no iOS. You can't play that on your computer or TV, only on a mobile device. So again, both seems that it's still really, really early. Maybe next year we're going to see more changes, and maybe both companies are going to start adding more devices. Like, I originally thought I could play Google Stadia using my iPad or my phone, and I tried to do that, and yeah, it wasn't working. And then I realized, okay, it's only available for the laptop or computer using the Google Chrome browser. So yeah, when I was playing with Paris, we strictly played through I was playing on my laptop. He was using his computer, his PC, and we also connected directly using their private chat, which was super easy, right, Paris? It wasn't that hard. We just connected. I think Paris had an issue with his connection, with his mic connection, but then we figured out we were fine after that. It wasn't that bad. But we got to see people here and there playing, you know, Destiny 2. Now, the thing that I realized too, when we were playing certain modes in the game, there wasn't enough people playing that it was taking a very long time to find a match, and it was more of the PvP side. Took forever. We were doing the Gambit, and then we tried, what was another one, Paris, that we tried? Do you remember? That took forever.
We did a strike. We tried to do PvP. Like I said, there's, again, the population is just not that big on Stadia right now, and then Gambit mm-hmm. took a little bit, but we were able to get in. We weren't able to get into PvP, but we were able to get into Gambit.
Yeah, yeah. But the technology is good. Like, my connection wasn't that the greatest compared to Paris, because Paris has a faster connection. And it was good, man. Here and there, I'll get, like, some lag here and there. But it wasn't that bad. I had a great experience playing, man. And we were playing it for, like, a good hour or so, which you could watch it on Twitch, go to the video on demand. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I'm curious to see what other games are, you know, Google are planning to release in the future. I think one is Tomb Raider, and I think there's another game that's also they're going to have available for free there. So.
Which is another problem, because this, mm-hmm. again, this is why we're having a fire drill right now with Stadia. Like, this launch was rushed and shouldn't have happened the way that it did, because you had two games that were for mm-hmm. sale in November, Farm Simulator 19 and Tomb Raider. They're now making a part of the free games you can get in December, you know, if you're a pro subscriber.
Yeah.
So now they got to scramble. If anyone bought those games, they got to refund it. So that goes to show me there's not a plan. Where's the plan? Where's the long-term plan? Where's the roadmap where they know, all right, here's the games that we're going to offer every month. Here's the pricing structure. Here's all the things that we're going to do to incentivize people to give up their Xbox or their PlayStation and come on to Stadia. They don't know what they're doing. I cannot emphasize enough, because we know people over there. This is not the people that are hard at work trying to make this platform. This is senior leadership. Where the hell is Phil Harrison right now? Why hasn't he made a statement on what they're doing?
He's been quiet, right?
It's been extremely quiet. He did the IGN thing, which was obviously pre-planned. But other than that, not a peep. Not a peep. Way too many head-scratching moments coming out of the Stadia camp right now. It's like, you're the rookie. Like, Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, you know, these type of companies, they're the OGs. They've been around for decades at this point doing this stuff. They know what the hell they're doing. Google does not. And I'm sorry, the people that they brought in at the senior executive level clearly don't know what they're doing right now. They just don't. And that may sound harsh, but it's the freaking truth. I've been playing video games for long enough to know what a launch should look like. This ain't it. This is not it. And that's my biggest issue right now. Should not have launched this thing. Should be a beta.
You know what this, like, this launch reminds me of, or the vibe that I get from out of all of this, is like, we want to be the first. That's what it is. They want to be the first to launch a full service, no beta, just here, buy it, and so on. That's it. I don't know. I think at the end, maybe in the future, it will get better, I hope, once they start getting more feedback and they see the competition. But yeah, man, this is super, super rushed, man. Super rushed. And yep. Phil, look, man, not for anything, man, but every time there's a launch of a console and Phil Harrison is in there, something goes down. Every single time. It happened with PlayStation 3. It happened with the Xbox One, because Phil Harrison was also part of the Xbox team during that time. And now with Google Stadia, 343, man. Shout out to Phil. Yep. I don't know. You're right. I think you're right, man. Insane. Anything else, Paris, about Google Stadia?
No, I mean, we've been talking a lot about Stadia over the past few weeks. I think it's time to move on from that. Yeah. I'm glad that I was able to get hands-on with it so I can speak from a place of experience versus just speculation. But the advice, you know, I even said this in a review I did on YouTube. My ultimate advice on this is wait. Just wait. Don't invest into this right now. Wait. Let's see how this plays out over 2020. Maybe the pricing model changes, you know, something like that. And we'll see. But right now, I would not purchase Google Stadia. I just wouldn't.
Here's one thing that I even mentioned this to Paris a couple of days ago, is that right now there's not an exclusive game that's going to make you want to try out Google Stadia, because all these games that are available, you could find it on multiple devices, on multiple consoles, or even on the PC. Like, it doesn't make sense for you to go and buy that game for Google Stadia, which you could find it on Xbox, PlayStation, who knows, Nintendo, PC. So once Google starts releasing their first party games, then I think, okay, now should I invest it? It's going to make sense. I think what would be cool for them is start doing a subscription service for their first party games and maybe add some third party, the same, similar to Xbox Game Pass. I think that will make a lot of sense in the future if they start making those changes to the service. So, but right now, you could wait. It's no rush. But the technology is there, though. It is there. We had a blast playing it, man. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have a couple voice messages here from our listeners. Remember, for those who are listening right now, send us your game of the year to fan mail, and we'll definitely save it for our last episode of the year, game of the year episode. So send it in. We would love to hear from you. Doesn't matter if you're new, old listener, just send it in, because I want to hear everybody's only one game. Please, only one game of the year. Doesn't matter which console it is. Just mention that one game, all right? To fanmail at gamertagradio.com. All right, so Paris, let's go with the first voicemail.
Hello, Danny and Paris. Love the show. Gamertag Radio. I've been listening for a while. I've never called in to ask a question. Recently, my name is Paul, and I'm from Seattle. Recently, Phil Spencer did a lot of interviews after EXO 19. And one of the things he was talking about was not having the Xbox Scarlett meet a certain price point and not sacrifice power. What does that mean to you in the near future? What are we looking at for the Xbox Scarlett?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Paris, you want to answer that?
No, can you answer that one?
Yeah. Well, I think is to me, I think that they don't want to have this console way too expensive. They don't want to have the same situation what happened during the last gen, when PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 was announced, and they had it at a cheaper price. That was like just bad press for Xbox. Huge bad press. I still remember, man. I was at the during the press conference. I had to go to the bathroom, and I hear people screaming their lungs out. And I don't know what happened. When I get back to where we were sitting at, the first thing that Paris said was, "Well, Danny, I pre-ordered Xbox during the press conference. I'm just gonna cancel it, man. This is it. This was like a mic drop. $299, right? And that console was still more. Oh, actually, $399. And that console was still more powerful than the original Xbox One, right? So they don't want to have that same situation from back then. So I think what makes sense is still have the console powerful, right? But also have it at a price point that makes sense, you know? So that's my point of view. That I think what Phil Spencer was trying to say about all that. So that's what I think. What about you, Paris? You agree or disagree?
No, I agree with you. And that's going to be critical for Xbox going into this next gen is they have to, at a minimum, have price parity to whatever the PlayStation 5 is going to be. I don't care what type of tech is inside of it. It needs to be on par with whatever. And this goes for Sony as well. Both of them need to be on par with each other and priced accordingly. Because like you said, that night in 2013, I walked out of that PlayStation press conference and I go, this is a freaking wrap already. It's done. It's $100 cheaper and it's more powerful. Who in their right mind is going to invest in Xbox One? And this is obviously bared out over the generation where people chose PlayStation 4 and it wasn't even close. So I'm pretty sure Microsoft is looking at this going into the next one with Scarlett, and they understand that they cannot come in way over price and it has to be powerful at the same time. So I think in the grand scheme of things, and I think this also applies to PlayStation as well, I think they're both going to take a loss on the hardware to start off this gen because they know coming off of Xbox One and PlayStation 4, where, you know, we got the One X, we got the Pro and all that. And yeah, we're doing some 4K and all that. But you look, out the box, every game needs to be 4K. Every game needs to be doing 60 frames. That's just at a minimum. So whatever tech they got to throw inside to make sure that that's happening, they got to do it. But at the same time, no way they're more than $500. No way. $499 at most for both of these things. If a miracle happens, they could get it to $399. I think that would be ideal from a consumer standpoint, but at max $499 for both of these things.
Yeah. And the only difference that we're going to see with Xbox and PlayStation is that I think Xbox is not really forcing you to buy Scarlett. Like, you could still play Halo Infinite if you have Xbox One X, which with Sony is, you already have your PlayStation 4. This is our new console. If you want to play the new games, you have to buy this console. So that, I think that's going to be the difference between both next-gen consoles next year, man. So the choice is yours, man. I mean, they're both going to have great libraries of games, you know? So, and I think PlayStation just made these changes too for next-gen is now you can start playing all the old games now on the PlayStation 5. All right, so we could go to the second voicemail. You want?
All right, give me 1 second.
Hey guys, Michael Moore from Toronto, Canada. Just checking in on the conversation with Danny and Paris regarding PlayStation Now and the streaming. I fully believe Sony has to get into the game of streaming or get left behind. I know it's going to happen sooner than later. It's inevitable. So Team Danny on this one, and think about it. Why would Sony sign a streaming deal with Microsoft? They know it's the future. So think about that. Team Danny on this one. Michael Moore, Toronto, Canada.
Why is it Team Danny? That's what
I don't know. I don't know, but I see where he's coming from, because I think that was a conversation we were having, a debate, for those who are listening now and missed that episode, but we were having a debate about should Sony make those changes for PlayStation Now, blah blah blah, and then Paris like, no, they don't need to, they're doing good. And my point was like, yo, eventually they are gonna make those changes, like, and I forgot about that. Like, he even mentioned he had made a great point, like, why was Sony make those changes for like get Microsoft involved for their servers, because that's a huge investment for them in the future. And I think we are probably going to see those changes once PlayStation 5 comes out. You know, they don't need to do it now. You know, wait till the future. You know, that, I think that's what Paris was trying to say. Am I correct, Paris? Paris?
Yeah. Yeah. In a nutshell, it's basically what I'm saying is I just I don't see them again. This kind of almost goes back to the VR thing when we compare it to Xbox. No one's asking you to make a commitment to it right now, but don't be short-sighted and not set yourself up for potentially in the future if you have to pivot. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for shouting me out, man. Team Dan in house. Yeah. It's all good. All right. Go with the third voicemail.
Yep. Here we go.
Hey, how's it going, Gamertag Radio family? This is your boy FGC Hitman from Columbus, Ohio. I got two questions for you guys. The first one is, now I skipped the Xbox One this generation. Is Xbox Game Pass worth it on the PC? Please explain Xbox Game Pass in your own words. And two, I would like to see retro Xbox games go to the Microsoft Store. I want to play games like Rare Replay, Halo 2, and other games that are not on the current Microsoft Store on PC. I also think that those games would do good sales-wise. Do you agree or disagree? And what is your take on that? All right, Gamertag Radio, I enjoy the show, and have a good one.
So, Paris, I don't have a PC. That's all you.
No. So I was going to, he was thanking us at the very end. I was trying to wait. No, I agree with him. I agree that if you look at it, look, Master Chief Collection is about to drop, right? We're about to get a Halo Reach on PC right now, like literally this week. And they're going to add the rest of that stuff, I do believe, to the PC. I think, like he mentioned, Rare Replay. Why not? I mean, Xbox is clearly going, look, we don't care what hardware you bring to the party, long as you invest in our services. That's their thing as we go into the next gen. So why not? Of course, bring all that stuff to the PC. So absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it would be very successful to bring some of those retro games there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, there is a couple games that they just added for Steam, right? From Xbox. But not the old ones, just the most recent ones.
Yeah, like more Halo. Recent. Like Gears 5 is on Steam. Like I said, Halo Reach Master Chief Collection is coming to Steam. Stuff like that. I would imagine as we move forward, Halo Infinite as an example, you know, I would imagine would be on Steam, stuff like that.
So they don't have a lot of the old games available for PC on Game Pass, as you say? Oh, no.
Not on PC. No, on PC, no. See, so the way Game Pass right now is working on the PC, the new first party stuff like Gears 5 as an example, that stuff is there. What you'll see is, and this is why, you know, Microsoft is pushing Game Pass Ultimate, so you get the best of both worlds. There are games that show up on Game Pass PC that aren't on Game Pass Xbox and vice versa, right? But those games, you know, it just depends on the licensing or whatever, but you're going to see more PC centric games obviously show up on Game Pass there as well. So again, I think the Game Pass Ultimate obviously gives you the flexibility and the best of both worlds that you can experience it on the PC, you can experience it on the Xbox. You know, like this person list of the voicemail, he's a PC guy, he doesn't have an Xbox. I mean, he's going to see games there that he won't see on the Xbox One. But I think moving forward, as Xbox dips into their old library of games and brings them to Game Pass, it just makes sense to put both of them there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to read two more emails, and that's it. We're going to wrap it up here. All right, so I'm going to read one here. So, Paris, if you want, find an email for you. All right, so...
What? What email where?
Email, fan mail.
What are you talking about? Where? You mean like they sent us an email?
Yeah, but there's like a couple. This one...
Okay, yeah. I love how you didn't tell me this ahead of the show. So now
it's fan mail. It's fan mail. But, you know, fan mail is email.
Okay, I'm going to read the one from Alexander. He says, good day. My name is Alex. There's an unclaimed funds in your name.
Don't read that. That's spam. That was spam. That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, anyway, let me read this one. All right. So, hey, guys. I used to listen to Gamertag Radio and also Remember When podcast back in the day. I'm talking about 2008, 2013 era. have been out of listening to podcasts in general since, but now I'm rediscovering some of your shows, listening to, wow, that's like an ambulance, right? I don't know if you hear in the background, but yeah, this happens when you live in New York City, man. You hear this all the time. Let me wait till, all right, it's going away. Okay. So let me go. Sorry about that. I listened to the last 4 GTR shows and I'm enjoying it. So I decided to drop you a line and say, keep up the good work. And please, please keep up the loop on everything that's GTR. Best regards from the Netherlands. This is from Don Krigsman. Shout out to him, man. That wasn't a question. That was just a hello message. But shout out to him. Any other email, Paris? Besides the spam one? Oh, this one, I think this was perfect for you, Paris. From Brent.
Okay.
It's about Anthem.
Are you going to read it or do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read this. Okay, this is good. This, you're the Anthem guy. You're the credits.
Well, I am in the credits. Okay, so here we go. This is from Brent. He says, hey guys, how's it going? This is Brent from Traverse City, Michigan. And I've been listening for a few years now. I'm always listening to your show at work. Just wondering if you heard anything about Anthem next. It sounds to be a complete overhaul of the old game, which would be awesome because it only held my attention for the first month. Well, you lasted longer than a lot of people. And the catalyst rate or whatever, it wasn't worth all the hype BioWare put into it. I agree. So I just want to know if you heard anything and what would you guys think they will need to do to win back fans. I really believe this will be BioWare's second and last chance for Anthem, which would be a shame because the idea of Anthem is fantastic. And one more question. Has Pete thought about coming back for a guest appearance yet? Thanks. And oh, my game of the year would be Gears 5. It had an incredible story, great gunplay, and left me anticipating Gears 6. I'm normally a PlayStation fan, but the game got my attention for a couple weeks. Brent, thank you for that. I'm going to answer the Pete question first. So, like I said, when he left, he's not gone. Pete's not gone. And I said that at the time. He's like, oh, I'm leaving. I was like, no, you're not. You'll be back. Pete will be back. Don't worry. Don't worry. He'll be back. He'll be back soon enough. Matter of fact, he just finished building his new PC. We'll figure it out, but Pete's not gone. Pete is just on temporary hiatus. I don't know if, Danny, you disagree or want to add to that.
No, I totally 100% agree. He'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. I ain't sweating Pete. Yeah. And then go to his game of the year thing, Gears 5. I mean, we'll obviously talk about game of the year stuff, game awards and all that upcoming episodes. But, hey, Gears 5 absolutely is up there for sure. Yeah. It's not my game of the year, but I totally can understand why someone sees it as a game of the year. They pulled the ultimate okey-doke on me. When I always say, hey, I could be wrong, that was the ultimate. I was wrong because I was like, oh, my God, this campaign is going to be a disaster. Why aren't they talking about it? Oh, my God. And then I played. I was like, oh, my God, it's great. It's great. Thank you for keeping it a secret because it was great. So yeah, Gears 5 absolutely is in the game of the year contention, in my opinion. Now to answer his Anthem question. So we talked about this a few weeks ago, but short and sweet, what they're going to have to do is, and I'm not saying to copy and paste Destiny or anything like that, but they got to completely overhaul the way the loot system works. They got to give us things to chase, you know, compelling quest systems, you know, just on the technical side, not make us go back to Fort frickin' Tarsus for everything that we do, which was ridiculous. They have to have compelling weapons, gear, thing like that to do. Depending on the direction that they go, potentially overhaul the story as well. I know they were talking about breaking up the way that the actual overworld works so that they can do some different changes in there. But look, there's a lot of work that has to happen with Anthem. I don't know if they'll ask for my feedback on it, if I'll get reinvolved again or not. I mean, just as a fan, just as a person who's played it, saw it early in the process and saw the potential of what it could be. The bones of Anthem is great. I've said that from day one. They just got to fix the loot system, fix the weapon system, give us compelling quests and things to chase. The number one advantage that Anthem has over any other looter shooter out there is its verticality. The fact that you can fly around like Iron Man, and they have to take advantage of that moving forward, whatever they do. So I'm hopeful to see what Anthem becomes as we go into 2020.
Yeah, and one more thing. I think that in order for me to start playing the game again, with this update, I think BioWare should remove Paris from the credits. It will make me go back and play the game. So Bioware, that's my feedback.
Hey, do it. Do it. That's fine. If that make, you know what? If that makes Anthem a great game, please do it. Please.
Go for it.
Yes.
It's all
take
good.
Me out of the credits.
Yeah. Take him out. Take him out. Yeah. All right. So is there anything else about Anthem?
No. Like Anthem? I said, I would imagine they go dark for a while. They probably don't peer their head out and say anything. My guess is like March, April 2020, something like that.
Mm. Ooh, do you think that's a little bit too early to come back and start talking about the game? Why not continue working on it until it's
No,
right?
No. I'm with you. I'm just saying whenever they at this point, do not rush a damn thing. I'm pretty sure they've learned their lesson on that, right? So
yeah.
If they need more time than that, God bless them, take more time. Like I could see Anthem coming back summer 2020 as an example.
That makes sense. And yeah. I think that's a right time too, Paris, because there's nothing really going on during the summer. Because if you release this during the time that Cyberpunk comes out and all these other games that comes out during the spring, people are not going to go back. They're going to start playing all those games that already came out, man. So I think summertime will be great. And this is like before if there's any expansion for Destiny or Division during September, who knows. But I think that's a good time. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree with you, man.
Look, I've made it crystal clear on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. April 16th, 2020, I'm out. I'm not. We can come on the podcast. What you been playing, Cyberpunk? Yeah. That's all I'm going to talk about. Not talking about nothing else.
Cyberpunk 2020 radio. Stay tuned for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Good, man. So we're going to wrap it up here. First of all, thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 984. And by the way, Paris, I didn't want to say anything, but by the time this episode comes out, actually in a couple, maybe like an hour or two, we already have on just Audio Boom alone 1.5 million listens. So overall, since we started, 11.5 million listens, man. So yeah, thank you. Crazy. Thank you for everyone that listened to the podcast, even if it's just only once. Thank you so much. That's incredible numbers for us, man. So yeah, very, very happy about that, man. So we have a couple episodes left for the month of December, and then we're going to take a short break and for the holiday season, you know, and then after that, we'll be back here like maybe like a week after like the second week of January or something like that. So yeah, it's going to be good, man. So plus we have a lot of content that we have planned for the rest of the year here on GTR, man. So anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
Speaking of Pete is an a-hole. He was trolling me on Twitter, and he's trolling me right now because CD Projekt Red is at DreamHack right now in Sweden, and the Cyberpunk the community manager, she had a pic she was wearing a Cyberpunk beanie, which looks really dope, and then a good friend of ours over at Ubisoft also got the beanie, so he had to mock me, and of course Pete has to jump in and mock me too. So Pete, you're an a-hole. There you go. Because I want the beanie. I want it. I just tell you right now, I want it. Anyone out there can give me the beanie, just send it to me because I want it.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. When every time we post an update, like, hey, we're gonna be streaming live. Look at that. Pete always retweet those on Twitter, of course, because yo, he misses GTR. So yeah, Paris, he's gonna come back 2020 maybe. Who knows? That's it.
Yeah, he's not gone. Yep.
So yeah, we're going to wrap it up here, everyone. Thank you for listening. Remember, join our Discord. We would love to hear from you. Our Discord is discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. Join. You can use your mobile devices, your computer, laptops, anything. Just join and have a conversation with the rest of our GTR community, man. So thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.